From NPR and WBUR, I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. Jeremy Hobson will be here in a moment with an update on that shooting of an unarmed black man by a white police officer in South Carolina. But first, admitted Boston Marathon bomber Jahar Tsarnaev has been found guilty of all 30 counts against him, 17 of which make him eligible for the federal death penalty. The jury here in Boston read that verdict just minutes ago in a courtroom packed with survivors and friends and families of the three people killed in the twin bombings at the Marathon finish line nearly 2 years ago: Crystal Marie Campbell, 29, Lingzi Liu, 23 years old, and 8-year-old Martin Richard, and also the family of the MIT police officer Sean Collier, who was killed in the days after the bombing, was in attendance. Jack Lepiarz is a reporter for WBUR. He's been at the courthouse. And Jack, just first of all, give us a sense of what it was like there.
Well, I tell you what, we were able to keep an eye on Jahar Tsarnaev during the entire verdict reading. And Tsarnaev, through the whole thing, was, I don't want to say it was stone-faced, but he had a blank expression on his face through the whole time. He didn't show any emotion. Most of the time, his head was kept down, just looking at the verdict slip he had on the defense table. Him and his attorney, Judy Clark, both watching it, flipping through the pages as the jury went through the charges, and it was the clerk reading the charges, I should clarify. Tsarnaev occasionally would look around the courtroom, but never took a very long look at the jury, never took a long look at anything other than that slip in front of him. Now, he remained standing, the entire defense table remained standing through the entire proceeding, and for the most part, it seemed as though at times he wasn't sure what to do with his hands. At times they were in his pocket. At times they were folded in front of them. At times he even folded them across his chest. But as you said, Jahar Tsarnaev, guilty on all 30 counts.
Well, this had been expected. Right at the outset of the trial, his defense team said he did it. The thinking was that the trial was always about the sentencing phase, which is whether or not he would receive the death penalty. We'll get to that in a second. But we understand the tension there was pretty palpable. And Jeff Bauman, who lost both of his legs in the bombing, who helped identify the bombers from the hospital, tweeted after the verdict, "Today's verdict will never replace the lives that were lost and so dramatically changed." You know, what else are you hearing in the crowd at the courthouse?
Well, I mean, there was an interesting moment right as the jury was brought in for the first part. Remember, we got the word that the verdict was coming down around 1:20 this afternoon Eastern time. And then it was about a half an hour to 40 minutes after that before they actually started reading the verdict. But after the jury was brought in, there was this moment of tension inside the courtroom, probably about 30 seconds of complete silence. No one coughing, no one clearing their throat, no papers being moved, just the jury, the judge, the defendant, all watching, waiting for the news to come down.
Of course, this is going to throw a lot of people. There were over 200, 260 people who were injured in the bombings, and then everybody in the reverberation, you know, people in this area. This is going to be bringing back a lot of feelings for them. But we mentioned the sentencing phase. So tell us more about what the defense is planning.
Well, the defense is planning essentially more of what it's tried to do here in the evidence phase of the trial, and that is to pin as much of the influence and the responsibility in this case on the older brother, Tamerlan Tsarnaev. Now, they tried to do as much of it as they could now, basically by showing that Tamerlan's fingerprints were on possible bomb-making materials, that Tamerlan likely bought the materials to make the bomb, the pressure cooker, the BBs, the fireworks. But they've been limited in how much they can talk about Tamerlan's influence as an older sibling on Jahar Tsarnaev. And that's due to a pretrial motion by the prosecution to prevent the defense from introducing mitigating evidence. Now that the verdict is out of the way, the guilt phase of the trial is out of the way, the defense will be able to introduce this other evidence talking about, okay, what kind of influence did Tamerlan exert over Jahar Tsarnaev? Did Jahar Tsarnaev look up to him? Was he afraid of him? Did he admire him? Did he adore him? These are the questions that the defense is going to get after as we go through the sentencing phase of the trial.
Yeah, we just have a little over a minute, Jack. But again, before that, we had today's verdict, 30 counts. The deaths that we mentioned, Crystal Marie Campbell, Lingzi Liu, Martin Richard, and MIT officer Sean Collier, guilty in all of those. But just briefly, what were some of the other counts?
Well, some of the other counts, I mean, it ranges everything from the carjacking of Dunmeng, the Chinese national who was driving around the night of of April 18. That is an interesting count because it also carries a sub-count within it. And I should add, the jury found Tsarnaev guilty on all of the sub-counts as well. In other words, did the bombing kill Crystal Marie Campbell? Yes. Did the bombing kill Martin Richard? Yes.
Yeah.
But in the carjacking count, there's this sub-count of did that lead to the injury of MBTA police officer Dick Donahue. You might remember he was shot in the leg.
But he did not die, thankfully.
Fire.
Yeah. Yeah. And just briefly, what the jury decide?
The jury decided yes.
Yeah. That even though it might have been friendly fire that killed him, it was the shootout that put him in that place. Jack Lepiarz, covering the Tsarnaev trial for WBUR here in Boston. And, of course, we will continue to cover the sentencing phase. Jack, thanks so much.
You're welcome.